All right, we'll go with Gid. Keep it right there, Dennis. Okay.
Bibles here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Last week we had talked about there in 1 Peter about going through trials and tribulations and kind of what those are for us today. We talked about focusing on who we are in Christ. We looked at our values come from the attributes of who we want to become. And we looked at and talked about some practical things day to day that we could do to achieve those. So before we get to Thessalonians, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for your truth. And allow us, Lord, to take what was written so long ago and had accomplished so much great things to a group of believers that were going through tough times in Thessalonica. And allow us to take those, Lord, and apply them to our lives. Give us wisdom and discernment on how these truths can be used for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians. Paul is writing to these folks. He's going to give some information in here that covers Acts chapter 16 and 17. So in Acts chapter 16, what had happened was Paul and some different folks were at Philippi. Silas was there with them. And what had happened was they're preaching the gospel there, and they had influenced the lady to receive Christ. They actually, you know, cast a demon out. The owners of that lady got upset and had Paul and Silas thrown in prison. They were beaten, thrown in prison, and then released. And as they're released, the next town they go to is Thessalonica. So they're already in pain. They're already suffering. They're already going through hard times when they go to Thessalonica. Now, they've been in Thessalonica for about 3 weeks, and again, they're preaching truth. A lot of they start in a synagogue. A lot of Jews receive Christ, and they're also preaching throughout that town, which is full of idolatry about Christ, and many Greeks receive Christ as well. And again, this is causing a problem, and so they cause an uproar. They actually put a man named Jason in prison. They receive bail money, they let Jason go, but they tell Paul and Silas and their buddies, hey, you guys have to leave. So they're already from Philippi just, running for their lives. They've already been beaten, they've already, a lot of arguments. People are receiving Christ during this time in this area with tribulation, with affliction, all right, with hardship. And so Paul is moving on. He's now moved on to Corinth. And what they're currently going through, so when Paul's writing the Thessalonians back to them, their current afflictions, what they're going through before Paul writes to these people, they're going through hard times where they're at, and it's influencing a thought process. And this thought process is hey, the Thessalonians received Christ as their Savior under hard times, under affliction, under persecution. And everywhere we've gone after that, we have been running for our lives and suffering persecution for the cause of Christ. Maybe we should check on those guys. I wonder if, after this time, since none of us are there, I wonder if Satan came in and tempted them to leave their faith. Again, not that they're not going to go to heaven, but persecution is so hard and so trialsome that they're now just going to quit and give up. We're not going to meet together. We're not going to talk about this Christ who we trusted in. We're just going to kind of slowly go back to how things were. This is bothering Paul's mind so much. He says, when I can't endure anymore on this thought process, and his current situation is influencing his thought process about what he had just done and where he had come from. So much, he says, Timothy, you have to go. I have to know what's going on with them. So Timothy goes back, and now Timothy is reporting to Paul what's going on. All right, let's look here at chapter, we'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish and comfort you with regard to your faith, so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions. For you know that we are appointed to this. Indeed, we told you before, when we were with you, that we should suffer tribulation just as it came to pass, as you well know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to inquire about your faith, lest by some means the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor might have been in vain. But just now Timothy has come from you to us and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good memories of us, desiring greatly to see us, as we also desire to see you. Therefore, brothers, during all our afflictions and distresses, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live, if you stand strong in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all our joy will be which we rejoice for your sakes before our God, night and day praying earnestly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another and for all men, even as we do for you. To this end, may he establish your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So we see here again, Paul's going through a tough time mentally, all right? Paul's current condition away from those at Thessalonica is causing a mental distress. He does not know how they're doing. He doesn't know. He's concerned. He understands that he is only there for about 3 weeks, and as he's preaching the gospel, when he was there, it was always coming with hardships, afflictions, hard times, afflictions. So he's thinking, okay, we're not there to help them. We're not there to encourage them. They're hearing that we went to Berea from Thessalonica, and the people that bothered us at Thessalonica, they came down to Berea and bothered us. So these infants in Christ, they cannot be doing well. So there is this mental turmoil in Paul's mind because of the past situation he was in and at the current location he is at and what he's currently going through. So much he's thinking that Satan is going to come in and tempt them to quit on Jesus Christ. That's where his mind is at right now. Man, they're going through hard times. We're going through hard times. I wonder if Satan's going to go in there and tempt them to bail out and stop believing in Christ as far as living for him. They're not going to deny him as their Savior. They're still going to go to heaven. But their day-to-day behavior will be influenced. This is what Paul's thinking. Will their day-to-day behavior be influenced because of the hard times they're currently in, the hard times they're hearing that we're in? Will it cause them to not stand for Christ, not talk about Christ, not fellowship about Christ? Will it cause them to do that? I can't take it anymore. Timothy, check this out for us. Go over there, check on them for us, encourage them, bring them up, and help them. Timothy says, yes, sir, you got it. So Timothy goes, and he finds what? That they are loving one another. You'll see a major theme at Thessalonica. What actually happened was the opposite of what Paul was thinking. The opposite of what Paul was thinking was this, that they are, on their own, loving one another. Timothy said, Paul, you're not even going to believe this, bro. These guys love each other. They're around each other. They have good memories of you, which the opposite could have been true. Paul could have been thinking, man, are they upset that here we are coming in, telling about this Christ, and now that they believe in Christ, the whole world turned upside down? That was what was said at Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. Hey, these people are turning the world upside down. They're here also. Let's go get them. So he's thinking to himself, man, they don't have good memories of us. They may have lost their faith. They might be in hard times. They've quit on God. And now Timothy's saying, listen, man, they love Jesus. They love you guys. They're actually serving each other in love way more than you thought. So Timothy brought that report back. So what Paul was thinking, where he was at, in his current situation about what happened, you know, in the past, was not true. It wasn't true. So now they're rejoicing. Paul says, now I'm rejoicing. Now I'm thankful. Now I want to see you. Now, hearing about what you guys are doing is promoting me and encouraging me that I want to go back to you guys. Paul understands that when he goes back, it's going to probably come with affliction and distress. But the joy he has just received about them loving each other, serving one another, loving Jesus, having good memories of Paul, Silas, and his buddies, he's overlooking the negative that might happen to him because of the great news he heard. It's pretty cool. Because I want to come back now and see if I can't be used by God to help you guys increase more and more in his knowledge, increase more and more in his truth, increase more and more about what it means to be in Christ. Because remember, they only have 3 weeks. And then whatever, however long Timothy was there to help kind of patch things together on, hey, yeah, what Paul meant by that was this. Oh, and he was saying that, this is actually what it really means. So now Paul is encouraged, wants to go back and really help them out even more. He says, until I get there, verse 13 of chapter 3, he says, to this end, may he establish your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Which tells me he's thinking that Christ is going to come while Paul is alive. That's what that tells me. He thinks Christ is going to come while Paul is alive. Okay? Now here, chapter 4, he gets into some practical day-to-day living. Finally, brothers, we urge you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, you should excel more and more, for you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Chapter 4, verse 4, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of depravity, even as the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one take advantage of and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. As we have also forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he that despises does not despise man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. During tough times, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a tribulation, when I'm going through anxiousness, when I'm going through these, increased anxiety thought patterns, one thing that's very evident that might happen from this is that you will physically go back to the flesh. You will physically want to go and do something sinful, right? So there's the spiritual side above it. Hey, you need to be blameless before the Lord. As I'm seeking to grow in the Lord under trials, under persecution, a natural byproduct is, I'm going to come over here and do these things. I'm going to give in to the mental pressure, and I'm going to be released through a physical pleasure, whatever that is, defrauding my brother, It's going to come out defrauding my brother. It's going to come out in immorality, okay? Because of the pressure I'm feeling here, I got to release it. I don't know what to do with it here, so I let it out physically. Paul's saying, don't do that. Be aware of that. Be mindful. Verse 9, as concerning brotherly love, you do not need me to write to you. What a fantastic statement. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Paul's not taking credit for that, by the way. He says, you guys are taught by God to love one another. Because when I left, Paul might be thinking, this is me totally guessing here, he might not have really established brotherly love like he wanted to. That's why he's worried about them. When he sends Timothy. But they were taught by God on their own to go, hey guys, in our current situation, Paul and Silas bailed out. We told them to leave. It's just us now. We should probably love each other. That's how we're going to get through this. They're taught by God. No one wrote to them about that. It was just something that God had given them through the Spirit on, hey, you guys need each other. As they're gone. Verse 11, learn to be calm and conduct your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you may walk honestly toward those who are outsiders and that you may lack nothing. So he's saying, all right, during these tough times, you're going to want to bail out and do things in the flesh. Be mindful of that. What's going to help? Love one another. Okay, love each other. Learn to be calm. Conduct your own business. Do your own work. Hey, think over here. Get your mind focused on these things over here. And just so you know, you got to walk honestly towards the unsaved outsiders and each other. Now, he's going to encourage them. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. But there is a thought that, hey, if the Lord is coming to get us, those that have died before us won't be with God. And so Paul's going to address this here coming up, saying, listen, so those that have died before us, they will be with the Lord. We're going to meet with them in the air. Okay? Because there is obviously some teaching on live out your life today as if it's your last day because Christ is coming. They go, well, if that's true, my grandfather who passed away, he's not going to go up there because he's already dead. He missed the boat. Paul's saying, nope, whether they're dead, whether they're alive, we're all going to meet the Lord in the air. They're already in heaven, he explains to them. They're already there. We're just going to get our bodies and then get a glorified body. So, not to get too far off track, they get stuck on that from this letter, 1 Thessalonians, and they go, wait, hold on a second. If that's true, if the end's coming now, then I'm going to sell everything I have and just wait for them. So Paul has to tell them in 2 Thessalonians, no guys, you're taking it too far. You do what you know what you're supposed to do until you know what you're supposed to do. The Lord's going to come, and we'll meet him in the air. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. So it says in chapter 5, verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those that labor among you and are appointed over you in the Lord and instruct you, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient toward everyone. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, examine all things, firmly hold on to what is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. May the very God of peace sanctify you completely, and I pray to God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that being preserved blameless isn't until they die, it's when? Till the Lord comes. So Paul was believing in what we call the imminency of return of Christ. He's going to come. I'm asking that God is going to preserve your spirit, body, and soul blameless until he comes. Not until they die. Until the Lord comes and gets us. That's how soon Christ's return is on Paul's mind. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. So he's saying in the closing here, hey, here are some things that you can do in behavior. Again, as I focus, or as they focus on who they are in Christ, they're children of God, understanding that during tribulation times, trials, that they're going to be tempted to want to give in the flesh. Instead, focus on being blameless before the Lord. I'm gonna love and help support everybody else because what they're going through is rough also, as it's rough on me. And here are some practical things that we can keep our minds on. Rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks, not despising prophecies. Let's get our minds there. There are so many moving parts. There are so many moving things. So Paul's helping them. Notice again, Paul is in Athens, Corinth, that area. And he's currently under trials and tribulations. He's currently going through a tough time. His mind is now wandering, and he's worried about those at Thessalonica over here so much. He's thinking that the work they did was for nothing. This is Paul we're talking about. The work they did was for nothing. Satan has come in and tempted them to quit. I can't endure it anymore. I can't take it. Timothy, you have to go check on them for me. I'm worried about them. So Timothy goes, and what does he find? The opposite of Paul's worries were true. They love each other. They have strong faith. Those around them, the regions beyond, have heard about their faith, how they turn to God from idols. It's influencing other nations now. They have good memories of you. They want to see you. And Paul says, that's amazing. Opposite of what I thought was true. I want to go back and see them again. I want to go encourage them. I want to add more to their faith. I want to be around them. But until then, hey, you guys be blameless until the Lord comes. Be blameless in your conduct. What's that look like? Love one another. Don't despise prophesying. You know, examine what's true. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Just stay there and focus your mind on these things until I get there. Let's stand for our next song here. So what does 1 Thessalonians mean for me? Remember last week we looked at there are three things that you cannot avoid in this life. There are three things. Pain, uncertainty, and change. Pain, uncertainty, and change. You cannot avoid those. Again, our trials and our tribulations, our afflictions aren't physical. We're not running for our lives. We're not going from town to town being chased and beaten and put in prison. We're not doing that. What afflicts us are our day-to-day thoughts. Our day-to-day thoughts afflict us so much that it causes, or it can cause, worry, anxiousness, depression, anxiety. So I have to think to myself, just like Paul was worried about those at Thessalonica, and it was consuming his thoughts so much. Anxiety, one part of anxiety is, my mind is focused on the worst case scenario. The least likely to happen gets the majority of the energy of my thoughts. The least likely to happen gets the majority of my energy and my thoughts. So my afflictions come from the things that I'm constantly thinking about that I have no control over. Have you ever thought about to yourself, you know what, I'm going to write down the things that are consuming my thoughts. Maybe I'm not worried about them per se, But what's like consuming my thoughts? I'm going to write down all the things that I think I have to get through. My day, accomplishing these things. How do I get this done? How do I accomplish that? Write those things down. And then look to see how many of these that is consuming my mind do I actually have control over? What portion of this do I actually have control over? And what portion do I not have control over? It's based on someone else, either getting a hold of me, calling me, coming through, based on something else someone has to do. I have no control over. And I write those things down and go, okay, I can control these things. I cannot control these things. I have two lists now. And I look at those two lists and go, okay, what do I find myself spending the majority of the energy of my thoughts on? The things I can control or the things that I cannot control? What do I find myself being consumed with the most? And just be honest with yourself. At least you have two lists now, and you can identify, physically written down, okay, I have two lists that I can put energy in my thoughts towards. Now that I have them written down, I can say, okay, I'm going to focus my energy on accomplishing these things. So really, my worry or my anxiousness should change a little bit, because I might have some things over here that I cannot control, but I'm saying, nope, I've done my part, or I'm ready to do my part. I can't control this stuff. I'm going to now focus on my list that I can control. And then on the list that you can control, how much is that you can actually do today? Or is it in your control to do next Friday? You can only plan so much. You can only rehearse these things in your mind so much. Most of that energy, after you've planned a few things once or twice, all that energy that you're putting into that over and over and over probably isn't going to change your result a whole lot. You see, what can happen if we're not careful, myself included, is we are trying to control something abstract, something that I can't control, but we want to control it. So my energy is on, if I can think about these things so much and I'm so organized mentally, I can control it better. But it's all in your imagination. It's all in your imagination. And then what can happen if we're not careful is, let's just say all that energy and thought went to all these things that I control over, and it actually never even happened. The opposite of what I was trying to do with my will, my thoughts, never happened. What can happen is now I might get discouraged. Now I might get defeated. Now I might get upset. But my foundation wasn't even solid. It was consumed with what ifs, maybes, how comes, might be's, and I'm trying to control those outcomes. I'm trying to control those outcomes. And most of the things that the average person thinks about, they cannot control. Paul cannot control what the Thessalonians do after he leaves. He can't control that. That's what bothered him. I'm worried. I'm not there to help. I'm not there to guide. I'm not there to direct. You're right. But you know what God did in your absence, my friend? God taught them to love one another. It was good that you left, Paul. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. It might not have been good, but God was still with people as you left. God still did what God wanted to do with God's people as you're gone. God taught them to love one another. So if someone is accomplishing what Paul's desiring, even though his mind is on the negative and all the sad things that can happen, and his environment is influencing his thoughts. Many times, like Paul, our environment can influence our thoughts. And I'm saying this not in a negative way. If you're at work and it's just negative, 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 and it's hard, and just oppressive, it's going to influence you. It will. You can only handle that for so much, for so long. You're not weak. You're not a weak person. You're not walking in faith. Not that you believe in God. You're not a happy person. No, your environment, Satan is using that to influence you, just like Paul. Paul's not weak in the faith. Paul knows who he is in Christ. But Paul's afflictions, the things that he was currently going through, was influencing what had happened back there, saying, man, I did all that work for nothing. And the opposite was true. Now, I want to be careful, because I genuinely do care, and I love everybody here. And I'm going to say some things that might bring up some hurt, but I want to say it to you to not allow it to hurt you. A lot of times what can happen is sometimes my environment, what I'm going through mentally, I can look back and go, man, I messed that up. Everything I did back there was for nothing. Whether it's with my kids, my grandkids, with family, with friends, past ministries, past things that were good. They were good. But what I'm currently going through right now is making me think and feel that was a waste of time. Nothing good's going to come from that. You cannot control that. You can't control what your kids are going to do and not do. You can't control your family and friends, what they're going to do or not do. And chances are, most likely, it's not because of you. Not because of you. Not a waste of time. If you did your best and you prayed through it your best, there comes a point in everyone's life as an adult to go, I am now going to make my own decisions. Once someone recognizes to make their own decisions, you cannot control, no matter how much you like or don't like, the decisions they're going to make. Don't let that influence you. Okay, Jesse, you're saying don't let it influence me. What do I focus on then? Who you are in Christ. I have to always go there. Why? Because when I look at my position on who I am in Christ, the behavior I want is Christ-like. I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel depressed. I don't want to feel discouraged. Okay, fantastic. That comes from who you are. And who I am is kind and graceful and loving and encouraging and has joy. That's who you really are. When I step outside of that, I'm acting like someone I am not. But my thoughts are taking me there. Isn't that amazing how that can quickly happen? So if I start thinking, hey, whoa, hold on a second now, I am a born-again child of God. If you notice, Paul usually has a theme on his encouragements. He always encourages people with them being a child of God, and they have a home in heaven, where they are now and where they're going to go. Not what happened back then. Paul's always, I shouldn't say always, because I could be forgetting something, but Paul usually goes, I press toward the mark. Not this, I'm pressing from back here. No, this is what I have now. Now I'm going forward. Now I want to know these. Now from here, I'm going forward. Not from back there on the what-ifs, maybes, how-comes, things I can't control. Here's what I can control. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live by faith in the Son of God. Blank, 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 blank. I'm forgetting now what the rest is. But you know the verse, Galatians 2:20. It's now. not focused on there. He says in 1 Corinthians, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. He's very present and forward-looking. Present, forward-looking. Present and forward-looking. Because I can presently control my thoughts. I can presently look towards, hey, this is where I want to be. This is who I want. Remember our attributes, how we want to behave, comes from the attributes of those we want to be like, which is Jesus, right? He is joy. He is hope. He is patient. He is kind. That's who I want to be. Okay, and that has to come from Christ in me. I got to focus on that. What else? How much energy am I setting aside to think about things I cannot control? And how much energy am I going to focus on things that I can control? I can control me here, now, and forward. I can control that. I can control how much time I give to being in Christ. Taking in who I am. Understanding how Christ views me. My value and significance in Christ. I can control that. I can control who I love and when I love them. As far as service, with no expectation of a return, right? I can control that. I can control who do I want to encourage? Who do I want to uplift? One of the best things practically you can do if you find yourself kind of down and out is to build someone else up on what you want to be. Because both of you will go together. See, Paul is focusing people also practically on, hey, love one another and serve one another. Why? That's going to help you get yourself up to now practically get out of you where you want to go from who you really are. Practically get you to go get out and be around people to get at the behavior you want through a tough time. So practically speaking, my battles are here all the time. All the time. If I find myself anxious, discouraged, you'll notice that the knee-jerk reaction in the flesh is to avoid discomfort. You naturally, in your brain, you can't help it. You naturally, in the flesh, want to avoid discomfort. You want to avoid things that cause pain. You are trying to avoid those naturally. In the spirit, we want to walk through those tough times. So how can I tell if I'm enduring? How can I tell? What's my measuring stick on enduring? On keeping the faith? On walking in faith? It's as I'm going through these tough times, as my brain is constantly being overwhelmed with things, am I continually advancing my love for the Lord? Continually advancing my love for the brothers and sisters in Christ? Continually advancing on focusing on who I am in Christ? My position. Now, you will stumble forward. That's okay. But it's the stumbling forward I think people look at and go, man, I did this, I did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's better to zigzag forward than to go forward and turn around. Some of us are going to zigzag forward. That's okay. It'll be less zigzag and the more and more mature in Christ I get. Nothing wrong with that. As you're reading, studying your Bible, you're going to notice you have to actually kind of work pretty hard to figure out what actually applies for you today. The more and more you read, the more and more you're going to find that's for that group, that's for them, yep, that's for them, because the original audience is who the author has in mind. But when you are digging and you go, wow, this I can use, and you have that big gold nugget with gold, silver, and precious stones around it, you say, yes, it's just one verse, but it means so much for me now. I can do this now. See the difference? Sometimes, and I'm kind of going cattywampus here, but just hang with me. Sometimes we look at the Bible, and it's so big and broad, and how do I don't get it, I don't understand. You're right, absolutely, when you look at it from very, very wide. I was helping the other day give some pitching lessons. I'm trying to zone in a target. So when the lights are on and you're out there pitching, this person can kind of sometimes look out here. They can look wide. Dugouts, stadium, people. So I was trying to help them get focused back in on, okay, let's just zone our thought process on what I can control. I can control this ball going there to the best of my ability with the skill level that I have, with the training I've been through. So we're just going to focus right here. And I said, this right here is going to be a 3x3 box. As long as the catcher can catch the ball, you're doing just fine. Not a strike zone, just a 3x3 box. As long as you can get here, you're going to be okay. So I'm here. I'm focusing right there. Here I go. And now we're zoned in. Now we're going forward. We're getting rid of this stuff. And we can do that in our thought process also. That getting rid of the wide things are the things that I cannot control. I can't control those. I can't control them. I have to accept what I can't control, and whatever happens is going to happen. That's where the faith is, right? That's my faith. Jesus, I can't control these, but I believe as a child of God and as heaven is my home, you will see me through, not keep me from, but you will see me through what it is that I'm going through. So that when I look back, I can go, oh, this is what I learned this process. Romans 5, Romans 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You didn't want me to go through this painful experience, but I see 2 Corinthians 1, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials, as I receive comfort, Holy Spirit, I can now comfort someone else with the same comfort I was comforted with. Oh, you got it. Now I see. That's what my mind has to be full of, are those thoughts. Our afflictions are self-imposed mainly in our thought process. I'm going to write down, is my energy being spent on things I can control or things I can't control? I'm going to write those lists down and go, okay, here's what's in my control. And even that, I'm going to do my best, and whatever happens, happens. That's living by faith. Okay, I did it. The rest is up to whatever. I did the best I could with what I knew and the best I could do it. That's it. I'm okay with that. The result is not up to me. Things I can't control, I'm believing to God. Lord, you know my heart about it. I'm praying about the situation, but you know what? However you want to show me this and reveal this truth to me, you got it. There are three things in your life that you cannot control. Pain, unpredictable, and change. And sometimes we can find ourselves trying to control those three things. That's where Romans 6 comes in. I'm going to yield. Okay, Lord, I'm yielding. Yielding to the pain, yielding to the unpredictableness, yielding to the change. And I'm going to allow you to guide me through it so that when I look back, I can say, hey, you guided me through this. I kept the faith. I endured. I focused on you, who I am, my home, and I just kept on going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Thank you, Lord, for 1 Corinthians and the truths that Paul had wrote to those believers. Lord, I do ask that you would take these truths and encourage us today, that we could just sift through how you're speaking to our hearts. Guide and direct us with these principles, Lord, allow us to apply them to our lives and allow us just to feel free from being okay with things we cannot control. Allowing the afflictions of our mind to be at ease, to focus on who we are in Christ, where we're going at the end of it all, when this life is over, and seek to love one another. And as we do that, allow us, Lord, to just be these blameless sons and daughters of Christ at your appearing. Bless our afternoon, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.